Welcome to Elevations, bringing new perspectives to science, technology, education, and the arts. I'm your host, Amy Reynolds. What role does a university press play in our modern digital age? Our guest today will help us answer this question. Susan Wadsworth Booth is director of the Kent State University Press, having previously served as the director of the Duquesne University Press. Welcome, Susan.
Thank you, Amy. It's nice to be here.
Glad to have you. For someone who might not be familiar with what a university press does and the value it adds to a university, can you tell me a little bit about, you know, the role of a university press and why a university would want to have its own press?
My question has always been, why would you not? But that's, you know, that's my take. Really, I think it serves the university in a couple of ways. One is that it really increases the reach of that university's name. So every time we publish a book and that book goes out into the wider world, it gets the name of Kent State University out there. And the other reason, I think, is that it really is part of the public good. Universities serve their students, but they also serve the wider community. And a university press is a really good way to do that. It's part of helping faculty both here and all around the world, and not just faculty, but other people who are writing interesting and compelling things. It gives them a way to get that material out there. Some of that material might not see the light of day otherwise.
How is Kent State's press distinctive? Are there things that you're known for?
The press used to be directed by someone who was a Civil War historian. We have a great reputation in that and really can add to that conversation, which I'm sure you know is a big topic these days. I just came back from a Hemingway Society conference. We're one of the few presses that publishes extensively on the work of Ernest Hemingway. So that's an interesting little niche. We're also known for some things that you might not think a university press would be doing, like true crime history. And they're not sensationalist books, but they're really well-researched, go back to a historical crime and really look at the evidence that was presented, or maybe there's still a mystery to that, or a number of them have to do with the legal strategies that were involved. There are other areas that I think we're known for. We do some sports history, which is a whole new field for me. I'd never been involved in that before, so I'm still learning about that.
Do you have a couple of books that stand out that a lot of people would recognize and would connect with?
Well, one of the things, areas I didn't mention that we're also kind of known for is what some people call inkling studies, and some people don't know what that is, but it's a group of writers, British writers, C.S. Lewis and Tolkien and a couple of other people, but those are the best known. So we do some books about that, and we have a couple of books that are just used all the time to talk about that, and one is called Bandersnatch, and it's on the works of C.S. Lewis. It's used a lot, and so that's interesting. We also publish the Civil War History Journal. The journal has been around for a long time, and we're really known for that, and it obviously has a major impact on that field of study.
Can you give me an example of a current topic that has drawn from the Civil War expertise that you have at the press?
Yes. Well, I think all of this talk about the monuments and whether or not they should be displayed, well, it's grown in interest, and I think that the books that we do oftentimes can inform that conversation. A couple of the books that we've done recently have to do with, for example, African-American soldiers who served in the Civil War, and then relate that to, well, how do African-Americans today feel about these monuments that are all to white soldiers or white generals? How do they feel about that? I think it can really influence and impact that conversation.
The press has done work with the WIC Poetry Center, which I think has had some broad impact as well. Can you tell me a little more about that?
Their Traveling Stanzas project that they've been doing for several years, where they have gone into the community and especially with the refugee and immigrant population, have been working with those people to write poetry about their experiences and to help them deal with these experiences and feelings. A lot of fantastic poetry's come out of that. I mean, it's just very moving. And so we're working on a book project that will come out of that and feature some of that poetry and more information about some of those people who are fascinating and have great stories to tell.
As the director of the press, can you talk a little bit about how the works that you've been exposed to, whether it's the Civil War work or the literature work, has any of that affected you personally? Have you grown in your role by being influenced by some of these great works?
Oh, absolutely. It's one of the things I like most about working in university presses and why I've been doing it for a long time. What I love about my work is always that I'm learning something new. And coming here, there were these areas of publishing that I had not been involved in before. Just reading them, talking to these authors, you're always learning something. One of the great examples right now is we're working on a book where the person whose work it is, it's a diary of a man who was a prisoner during the Civil War, and he kept a diary for 366 straight days. He had a little tiny diary that he carried in his pocket, and each day he made an entry. And it's one of the most sustained things like that that's ever been discovered. And reading through that diary, learning what these people went through and how they were feeling about it, what the conditions were like. I mean, it just makes you stop and think, wow, we talk about these battles, we talk about these, you know, ideologies, the causes of this war, and it's really easy to not stop and think about what individual people on a daily basis went through. We also just published a book a few months ago that are letters between a husband and wife during the Civil War. He's off fighting, she's trying to keep everything going at home. And they weren't getting paid on a regular basis. She's struggling to make ends meet and take care of their children. So again, it's very eye-opening when you stop and get down to that level and really look at people. And I think it makes us then think about our own communities in other ways and think, gosh, in every situation, people have real experiences. And it's so hard to overlook that when you're thinking about the ideologies or the political views. I think a lot of times books that we publish help us do that.
What kind of relationship have you had with telling the story behind May 4th?
Well, the press has been involved in a number of publications before I arrived. So we do have books that are used by a variety of people to learn more about that. We have an oral history project, for example, that was published a number of years ago and a couple of other things. As we approach the 50th anniversary in 2020, several projects are kind of in the works, and we also hope to emphasize more books that just have to do with peace and conflict studies as we come toward that anniversary as well. One interesting project that will be published, I believe, next fall, we haven't set a schedule yet, is a photographic memoir by Howard Ruffner, who was a student here at the time and who was a photographer for both the yearbook and the newspaper on campus at the time. And there's 160 or 170 black and white photographs that will be included in the book, and many of those have never been published before or really seen before, even though several of his photographs were published widely on a national level at the time. And he's written a whole text to go along with that to really talk about the experience, that his own experience during that several days, and how it has affected him going forward. So I think that could have a major impact on the way people not only see that event, but how people think about these kinds of issues and the way we deal with them in general. So we're really happy to be able to do that and contribute to the discussions of how we deal with conflict and how we could do so more effectively.
Thank you for joining us today.
Certainly. It's been really nice to talk to you.
We've been talking with Susan Wadsworth Booth, the director of the Kent State University Press. Elevations is produced by Joe Gunderman, John Nungesser, and Ellie Ellis. I'm Amy Reynolds, Dean of Kent State's College of Communication and Information. Join us every Saturday morning on 89.7 WKSU.